Hi everyone, this is Paige Jordy. I am recording from a different location today. I'm in Sea Ranch with my girlfriends, and I wanted to share a bit of a different piece today. So I just got back from a two-week trip to Guatemala with my mom, and I wanted to share some of my reflections from the trip. My mom invited me to come along, and the trip was a joint trip hosted by Local Hope, a Guatemalan nonprofit focused on self-reliance through education and medical support, and Art Ambassadors for a Colorful World, a global nonprofit focused on providing arts education to children. So we traveled first to Guatemala City, the capital city, with day trips to Mixo Viejo and Sampango for Dia de los Muertos, then San Martin, a rural village in the Guatemalan highlands, then Lake Atitlan, a stunning volcanic lake, and then Taikal to see the Mayan ruins in the jungle, Flores, a Caribbean island feeling small town, and then back to Guatemala City. It was a huge adventure, and I'm so happy that I got to experience it with my mom. Some of my highlights included helping teach art classes with my mom to the children at Local Hope's facilities, a sunrise hike in Taikal to hear the jungle and howler monkeys wake up, visiting a ceramic studio on the cliffs of Lake Atitlan, practicing my Spanish and getting to learn the incredible stories of so many people in Guatemala and reinvigorating my love for painting. I'll write a little bit more about my time in Guatemala, but I think one of the most exciting things to come out of it for me was that I refound my love for writing. So one of the things that I want to do in this next series is explore different creative frameworks and how I've thought about applying things I've learned from art or writing or music to my investing career. So Kevin McPherson, who's one of the leaders of Art Ambassadors of a Colorful World, is one of the most well-known plein air painters who's traveled to over 60 countries to paint, written multiple books, and served as a keynote speaker at many plein air conventions. He formalized a painting approach he calls the Magic Grid. And if you're curious for more information on that, I'll link a video down below with more information. Basically, the Magic Grid is a language that describes painting, and it introduces surprising variety into your paintings. It can be incredibly difficult for existing painters to learn because it basically requires you to start your painting approach from scratch. You must submit and totally trust the grid to fully carry you through your painting, which can be really challenging. So you start by drawing a diagonal line and then a horizontal line one third of the way through the line, and then a vertical line where those two lines intersect, and then rinse and repeat on any rectangle shape you see on the canvas until you have a grid of big, medium, and small shapes. And I'll put a picture here of what that looks like. And then after drawing the grid, we use that grid to guide our composition as we draw our subject lines, so whatever we're looking at. And then after you have both your grid and subject lines, you start with your darkest dark on the grid space to serve as the floor of your value range. So competing darks and darks will confuse the viewer. So starting with and sticking to just one can help guide your painting. And after that, you walk through each form, selecting the color that you see or maybe what you want to see. The light changes so fast, so this can be really challenging. And one of the things I really liked is Kevin recommended to avoid getting frustrated. Just consider the painting like I'm just taking color notes of the scene to show my friends the beauty that I saw today. Easier said than done, but I found moving to a different part of the painting helped to relieve some of the frustration I felt when I was getting stuck. As you fill in the shapes, Kevin jokes the texture should look like the paint created a fart when you put it on the canvas, not just thick, super, super thick. You took a palette knife and scraped all the paint off your painting, it should be super chunky. So one of the things I like about the grid is it's truly a decision-making guide. So what might have been one color shape turns into six or eight interesting shapes. So you're forced to consider value and color at each intersection of a line. So each painting becomes engaging to the viewer. To create a painting on the system, it's mentally exhausting in a wonderful way. Each painting contains hundreds of decisions, and each painting represents an opportunity to work on different aspects, whether that's different subject matter, line, value ranges, styles, or colors. One of the recommendations Kevin made was to number each painting as you progress. So the more intuitive the grid becomes, the less strictly you have to follow it. And the contrast between my first grid painting and my last grid painting, which was only a week, felt very dramatic. So I say all this to add context to the first creative framework that I've been thinking about a lot with investing. I have watched my mom paint and talk about painting for the last 20 years, but I hadn't personally picked up a paintbrush in years. And in that time, my life has changed quite dramatically from a high school student to running my own investment firm. The core aspect of my role as an investor now is to make those decisions. And the Magic Grid made me start thinking about the language of our investing frameworks as a firm. I think the wonderful nature of the Magic Grid allows for two really important things. So one, the painters of all different mediums and styles can create visually engaging paintings that truly sing. And two, that individual painters get faster at making decisions of color and texture and value at an increasing rate. And as I was coming back, I thought a lot about how to continue to develop the language or grid of my own investing practice to do two things. One is allow other investors within our firm in the future to make great investment decisions. And two is to individually improve my own decision-making process. And I don't have answers to what the grid might look like for investing quite yet, but I am seeking to continuously simplify and make more explicit the nature, style, and strategy of my investing philosophy over the span of my venture career, and hopefully to get better at painting. I feel so lucky to have the opportunity to explore creative decision-making through painting, travel to Guatemala, and volunteer to help with art classes, and I'm really excited to continue learning and practicing the craft, especially with my mom. I hope you all are doing well, and I'm really excited in future episodes to explore different creative frameworks and how I think about applying them to investing and running a business. If you like this one, please let me know in the comments below and subscribe to my channel, and I will see you next week.
And a very special thank you to Seed to Harvest podcast editor Tate Doherty for his amazing work on this episode.